Okay, so we all know time is precious, right? You want the important stuff without all the fluff. And that's kind of what we're all about here. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something that could honestly change the way you think about finding information online. We're going to be looking at this really interesting 6-month experiment. It basically puts these new AI search tools to the ultimate test.
Yeah, totally. Someone decided to use ChatGPT, with that Search GPT feature as their main search engine for 6 months, like instead of Google and Bing.
Wow, 6 months. That's a commitment.
Oh, yeah. This wasn't just a casual, let me try it out kind of thing. This was a hardcore, no filter deep dive by Brett Tabke. And get this, he started the second this new AI search became available to him.
So he was right there on the front lines. I bet a lot of our listeners are curious about AI search, right? Like, can these tools actually replace what we've been using for years? I mean, I know I
For
am.
sure. There's so much buzz, but does it actually deliver?
Exactly. So today we're going to unpack Brett Tabke's experience. We'll pull out the most important insights so you can understand this whole AI search thing better.
And just to be super clear, everything we're talking about comes straight from Brett Tabke's own, like, super detailed account. So consider us your guides through his findings. We'll connect the dots and figure out what really matters from his experience.
Okay, so let's jump right in. What were Tabke's initial thoughts when he started using Search GPT instead of Bing? I mean, he had been using Bing for what, like over a decade? He must have had some expectations.
Oh, he definitely did. And you probably relate to his initial skepticism. He described early Search GPT as like a slow, clunky replacement for Bing. And it's interesting because he found that those early AI-powered answers, like those best guess answers it gives you, well, they were only right about half the time.
So not exactly blowing him away.
Not really. And he said it wasn't much better than the early days of Bing AI, back when that was first rolling out. So it wasn't a smooth start.
So not a revolution right out of the gate, but it sounds like things got better, right? When did Tabke start to see some real progress?
Yeah, for sure. He noticed a pretty big jump in the quality of the answers around the time they opened up subscriber access. We don't know exactly what OpenAI model update happened, but he definitely noticed the difference. He said things got faster, the answers were more accurate, and this is huge. It got easier to actually find and use the links in the answers, that you can verify stuff.
Oh, for sure. That's essential, right? You got to be able to trust the information. Transparency is key.
Absolutely.
So we've talked about early hiccups. Now let's get to the good stuff. Tabke was really impressed by something he called ChatGPT's memory. What's so special about that? How does it help us everyday searchers?
So this is really cool. Tabke calls it ChatGPT's memory. And it's basically the ability to remember what you've been searching for and use that context in future searches. It's something traditional search engines really struggle with. Think of it as like a conversational search. Now, Tabke had some mixed feelings about the whole idea of conversational search, but he loved this one aspect of it, that it remembers your past questions.
So you don't have to keep repeating yourself, right? Like if you're digging into a topic, you can ask follow-up questions without starting from scratch each time.
Exactly. Think about when you do research online. With Google or Bing, every new search is like starting a brand new conversation. But Search GPT remembers what you've been asking, so you can explore a topic way more efficiently without constantly typing the same basic question over and over. He actually had a great quote about this. He said, "Where it really shines better than anything Google or Bing have put out is in deeper research prompts queries. Search GPT is currently the context king." Pretty powerful, right?
It really is. Context King. That really highlights how different this is. It feels like a totally new approach to research.
Yeah, exactly. More natural and intuitive.
Speaking of getting specific, he also mentioned something about advanced search operators still working in Search GPT, like using quotes to find an exact phrase or the cite operator to search only within a specific website. So for those of us who like to fine-tune our searches, how does
Yeah.
that work?
Oh, yeah, that was surprising. He said ChatGPT and SearchGPT seem to support all those same advanced operators that Bing has. So you still have a lot of control over your searches, which is great for power users.
So you're not losing that level of precision, even though it's AI powered. That's really important.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that's the good stuff. Now let's get into where Search GPT fell short, what Tabke called the bad. He wasn't a fan of using conversational search for navigational queries, right? Like when you just want to get to a specific website quickly.
Right, that's where his, what did he call it? His SEO old goat side came out. So for those times when you know exactly where you want to go online, he much prefers just typing keywords and getting direct links. He actually argues that conversational search for this is actually less efficient.
So like if I just want to go to Amazon, I should just type Amazon, not have a conversation with the AI about what I want to buy.
Precisely. He's all about speed and directness. He used the example of typing Hotmail. He said he just wants the link, not a 5-paragraph treatise on the history of free web email.
I get it. Sometimes you just need to get there fast, like asking for directions and getting a history lecture instead.
Exactly.
And it sounds like this whole thing about being too wordy ties into another bad point. Just search GPT being too verbose in general.
Yeah, totally. He found it would often give these long, detailed explanations, even when a short answer or a simple link would be way better. It's like it's over-explaining, even when you just need the basics.
Like it's trying too hard to be helpful.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, now for what Tapti called the ugly. This is about his experience using ChatGPT with SearchGPT on mobile. And, you know, so many of us use our phones for quick searches these days, so I imagine this was pretty frustrating for him.
It was. Now, he mostly used it on desktop, but he did try it on his Android phone, and, well, it wasn't great. He said the ChatGPT interface was just confusing. Like, he wasn't even sure if the app was processing his voice searches correctly. He actually ended up using his phone's built-in voice-to-text feature with the keyboard, which he found more reliable.
Wow, that's not a good sign. So the dedicated voice search in the app was clunkier than just using the phone's regular voice features.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Ouch. What about using it through the web browser on his phone? Was that any better?
A little better interface-wise, but still problems. He said the responses were noticeably slower. And that whole text overkill thing, you know, those long answers, even worse on a small screen. When you're on your phone, you usually just want quick info or a direct link, not having to scroll through paragraphs of text.
And I think he had a story about this, right? Comparing his search experience to his wife's.
Oh, yeah. He said his wife was able to find what she needed on Google on her iPhone way faster than he could on SearchGPT. Like, she was done and he was still waiting. That's got to sting a little, right? Being shown up by old school Google when you're trying out the fancy AI.
Yeah, I can't imagine that felt great. Okay, so mobile, not so good. Let's move on to another important area, keeping up with the news. Tapti felt like news was kind of missing with SearchGPT. What did he find there?
So he found that SearchGPT wasn't great at finding breaking news or real-time updates, like compared to Google News or Bing News. It does have access to Bing's data, but it wasn't consistently giving him up-to-the-minute news unless he was very specific with his search. So if he wanted a general overview of what was happening, SearchGPT wasn't cutting it.
Now, it's interesting because he also had some thoughts about Google News itself, right? It wasn't just that SearchGPT was lacking. He had issues with the alternatives, too.
Right. So he wasn't loving SearchGPT for news, but he actually described his experience with Google News as like the worst surfing experience ever.
Yeah.
He said it's full of paywalls, cookie pop-ups, ads, and those annoying subscribe buttons.
Yeah.
Even for major news stories. So he was looking for a better way to get news, and SearchGPT wasn't at, but he was clearly frustrated with the existing options, too.
So kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. So there's this one really interesting example he gave, comparing a specific search on Google versus SearchGPT. He searched for stock market today on desktop. This gets to the heart of the whole search experience, right? What did he find?
Yeah, this was revealing. So on Google, the results were full of what he called Google property spam, meaning Google's own products and links were at the top, pushing down other results. But on SearchGPT, he got really good, relevant results for the same search. And he said this wasn't just a one-off, it was a pattern he noticed. Google seemed to prioritize its own stuff, while SearchGPT often gave him better third-party content right away. Have you ever noticed that on Google? Like you're searching for something and you're just seeing a bunch of Google's own stuff.
Totally. It's like they're pushing their own products on you, even if it's not what you're really looking for.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about another angle here, how AI search might affect websites and traffic, you know, stuff that's important for webmasters. Tapti specifically mentioned website referrals.
Right. So he said his websites were showing up in SearchGPT's answers, but people weren't really clicking through to his sites as much as they would from regular Google or Bing searches. He also pointed out that website owners need to watch out for traffic coming from OpenAI's own web crawlers. Apparently, they stopped using the Common Crawl database last year and now have their own bots going around indexing websites. So that's something to keep an eye on.
So it's a different game for websites when AI is in the mix. It might answer your question directly without you even needing to visit a website.
Right.
Okay, so big picture, after 6 months of this experiment, what were Tapti's overall conclusions? What are the main things our listeners should take away from this?
So his biggest takeaway is that his search habits have changed, at least on desktop. He said he almost never uses Google or Bing's web search anymore. He goes straight to ChatGPT with SearchGPT for most things. But it's not a total replacement. He still uses Bing for image searches. And he loves Google Maps. He says they're a best product. And he's still annoyed by those Google AI summaries that take over the search results. He thinks Bing is getting better, but he wants them to include more direct links to sources.
So he still has his go-tos for certain things.
Yeah, but overall, he's using AI search a lot more.
And what about overall satisfaction? Was he generally happy with SearchGPT despite the drawbacks?
He said ChatGPT usually doesn't leave him hanging without an answer, more often than he experienced with Google anyway. So he sees himself continuing this shift away from traditional search engines. He thinks he's pretty good at giving him the information he needs, even if it's not always perfect in how it gets there.
Sounds like a tentative thumbs up for desktop use. And he had some specific things he'd like to see improve, right? What was on his AI search wish list?
Oh yeah, he had a few things. First, he wants tabs in the results so you can easily filter by different content types, like news articles, images, videos, regular websites, that kind of thing. He also wants more links directly in the AI responses so you can go straight to the source. He said he often had to do a separate search on Bing to find the original source for stuff ChatGPT gave him. And finally, he wants shorter, more direct answers, especially for simple questions. Just get to the point.
Makes sense. That would definitely make it more useful and efficient.
Right. And he actually mentioned something Sam Altman from OpenAI said about the future direction of all this.
Oh, right. How does that tie in?
So Tapke included this tweet from February where Altman talked about how OpenAI wants to simplify their products and make the names of all their AI models and services less confusing. And Altman also said he wants their AI to just work. Like, it should be easy and seamless, not overly complicated. And this really connects with some of Tapke's frustrations, right? He wants a more streamlined, efficient, less wordy experience. It's like he just wants the AI to do its thing in the background and give him the information he needs. I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Definitely. Nobody wants to jump through hoops or be confused by tech jargon. So after this deep dive into Brett Tapke's six-month experiment, what are the biggest takeaways for our listeners?
Well, first off, ChatGPT's memory for research is a game changer. That ability to build on previous questions is huge, but there are downsides too. Like, it's not so great for quick navigational searches, and the mobile experience needs a lot of work. And maybe the biggest takeaway is that the whole search landscape is changing fast. AI is going to play a bigger and bigger role.
So much to think about. And here's a question for all of you listening. Based on what you've heard today, how do you think your own search habits might change in the next few years? What parts of AI search excite you? What worries you?
Yeah, good question. Think about the trade-offs, the good and the bad. Maybe even try out some of these AI search tools yourself and see what you think. The more you experiment and learn, the better prepared you'll be as this technology keeps evolving and changing how we find information.
Absolutely. Stay informed, stay curious, and until next time, keep on searching.
And searching smartly.